So welcome, guys. It's a Friday. Ordinarily, this is an encore. I know I said that it would not be because we encored up the first 2 days of the week. However, I was out this evening at the Smokehouse in Burbank, California, with my very close personal friend, Derek Waters. He, the producer of Drunk History, a show that I know many of you have enjoyed. And Derek and I talked a lot about life and where we've been and what we've been doing. And oh, yeah, by the way, we also had a couple of tequilas.
Yeah, we're getting to it, yeah.
All right, easy, easy, okay. As a result of that, I have decided that a really good thing to do tonight would be to bring one of the Art Griego shows where he talks about being afraid of flying. You know, he was on the show last night or yesterday talking about fear of flying, talking about his inability to understand how planes fly. We found a really early one addressing that. This is from 2016, and we thought we would go ahead and play that for you. Huh? What do you think?
I think it's a good idea, Phil.
Okay. So that's what we'll do right now. Sit back, relax, enjoy Art and me and you on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here. And we have on the line with us Art Griego. Art is, as you know, a retired pilot. If you've been with us for any length of time, you know that Art has been... He's been on this show many times, going back many, many years. He's joining us from Santa Monica Airport this morning or this afternoon, or however you want to put it, wherever we are. What time of day is it right now?
Are we talking to me?
Anybody.
It's the evening hours.
All right. So let's bring on our good friend there, Art Griego. Art, how are you doing, pal? It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Phil. It's good to be out with everyone.
And Art, you flew commercially for many years. You also flew privately. You're kind of in semi-retirement, but I do know that right now, you do some freight service, correct?
Yeah, we. You know, it's interesting. I explained this a number of times to you, and I'm not criticizing Phil. I realize it's difficult properly to understand what I'm trying to say.
What happened there?
You know what? We're going to be talking about. As you guys know, I had for a long time. I had alcoholism, but I'm fine now. But because of the alcoholism, it caused a brain lesion. So every now and again, and it's only with the letter P that I'll begin to get like that. Let me, for instance, I'll try to say your name. We'll say your name was Patrick. Okay, Phil?
Okay, I guess you didn't know how to say Patrick.
No, I know how to say it. I can say Patrick good, but I just...
There was a brain lesion from what?
This is from alcoholism.
Oh, my God. When did you have that diagnosed?
Well, I went to a couple of neurologists. I noticed that this was happening while I was drinking. And one of my favorite drinks, as a matter of fact, is Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. Now, boy, I tell you, it's bringing back some memories.
You drank Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Shut up, Bud, okay?
You do that one more time, I'll slap you.
All right, no, I understand. Bud wants to, he wants to lord it over a guy that he thinks is handicapped.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do nothing wrong.
Just don't be a smartass. All right, we're talking here with Art Griego. Art, so I'm sorry to, you don't drink anymore, right?
No, I do. I found out that, you know, I came down with alcoholism briefly, but I got it under control.
What do you mean you got it under control? People say you can't just stop drinking again when you have it.
Yeah, you got to stay away from booze.
No, it's not. You don't understand. It's fine. I thought I was, and I may not be an alcoholic, although they say the brain lesion was probably from excessive drinking, which would make me an alcoholic. But let's just get off that subject, okay? Because I'm really, it's not comfortable for me.
All right, well, I don't want to lecture you, Art, but you know, you matter to us, and if you are an alcoholic and you're drinking, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I hear it from my wife all the time.
Well, and she loves you and cares about you.
Yeah, well, the love part, I know, I'm just,
Let me just lend my voice to that, okay?
Yeah, all right.
What was the name of that beer you liked?
Oh, you did that on purpose.
I just wanted to hear it again, because it's very weird. All right, let's not make fun of the man, I don't think.
Yes, I agree with Phil, that's not in keeping with a Christian spirit.
Well, we're not talking about being Christian.
We may not be Christians, but we can pretend...
While we're on the air, yeah.
Yeah, it's the least we can do.
Well, okay, I'll give you that. I appreciate that, everybody. I take it you want to ask me, though, about this Delta Connection pilot.
I do.
All right, well, what you've got, I brought this up to you, Phil, a couple of weeks ago, I think, when I was on your show, and I said, you know, that pilots are extremely nervous when they fly. Pilots are scared to death and always have been scared to death. And so it's very difficult for a pilot to take off and not be scared until he empties his bowels into his underwear. Again, it's difficult, and I can't emphasize this enough.
For God's sake.
No, I can't emphasize this enough, Margaret. It's difficult for a pilot to take off and fly and not empty his bowels into his underwear.
Yeah, you made this statement before about pilots being scared to death of flying, and yet they still fly, and that makes them great pilots. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. I don't know if it's backed up with any real, you know, evidence.
Excuse me, I'm a pilot, all right? And I flew for many years. And as a pilot, it is...
I notice it doesn't happen every time you say the P word.
No, it doesn't. It's like I say, it's a lesion, so it's almost like epilepsy. And occasionally, you know, the pattern will be repeated, and sometimes the pattern is not repeated. Are you laughing at me?
No, I'm not.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I thought I heard you laughing. Hey, hold on for a minute. What we're doing right now is we're sawing an extra door into my Cessna. Yeah, that's got it. I need a freight door. So this is the problem. And
we're back on that then.
Back on what?
Back on this notion that pilots are so frightened that they have to drink.
Yes, as a matter of some succumb to the temptation because, again, get on an aircraft and you fly. Hey, Jerry, yeah, make it wider. I want a nice big door because when I want to get stuff on the airplane, I want to do it fast and get the hell out of there. Yeah, there you go. I'm putting a big door on my plane.
You're in a hurry, huh?
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, you said you want to get out of there. You're delivering stuff.
No.
Wait a minute. The only guy that I know, or the only kind of people that I know that land aircraft and have to take off real fast are drug smugglers.
That's not it.
Well, you sure aren't really defending yourself all that much.
I'm not, because I've got work to do. I've got to...
Please, Art, don't tell us that you are flying drugs in and out of the country.
No, I'm not. I just said I wanted to land and get the hell out of there. Okay? That's all I want to do. I don't want to be on the ground very long because I land in some places that I don't like. I got to run. First, I'll give you an example. I have to take a mail sack to, I do a very private mail run and package run up to Oregon. Now, I love Oregon, but there's parts of Oregon I can't stand. And one of the areas is the eastern part of the state. It's a desert. There's a lot of weird rednecks and stuff. I can't stand that. So I land and I dump the mail and I get out of there. Another area that I'm not too nuts about is the so-called Inland Empire of the L.A. area, Riverside, Ontario. I got to get out of there. And I'm not really crazy about Central Florida. I got to get the hell out of there. So if you think of all the places in this country you don't like, you know, you want to get in and get out.
There's no place that I dislike so much that I got to land real fast and get out of there.
Well, I do, Phil. I guess that's the difference between us.
All right, let's get back to this. When we're talking about pilots that drink, the story that we are referring to, ladies and gentlemen, a SkyWest pilot scheduled to fly a Delta Connection flight out of South Dakota's Rapid City Regional Airport was arrested on Wednesday morning on charges that he was intoxicated, according to the Rapid City Police Department. The local Argus Leader newspaper reports that Rapid City Police were notified that a pilot smelled of alcohol shortly after 8 a.m. local time Wednesday, according to the public information officer. I want to ask you a question, Art. Why wouldn't a man at least take care not to smell of alcohol?
Well, you usually try to, but the fear factor is so high, and being scared literally almost half to death because you don't want to get into that aircraft and fly that thing, even though you are good at it, even though you're one of the best, is so much that you may just go ahead and crack a bottle and start swigging from it and hide it in your jacket.
Oh, come on.
You talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. You got to be kidding me. You're telling me that we, even with passenger flights, huh?
Well, this was a passenger flight.
No, so the guy's swigging from a bottle. He's hitting off a bottle and hiding it in his jacket.
Yes, because the fear is so great. you know.
The fear is so great of flying that these pilots have to drink. Now, why are you telling me that pilots are these are great pilots?
Every pilot that flies, Phil, is a professional. Every pilot I vouch for personally, even though I haven't met every pilot, I can tell you right now that every pilot is a professional and does the very best that he can. And these professionals, God, I almost made it through. These professionals may be drinking. They may be swigging straight from a bottle. They may be having a cocktail or a cordial up there in the cockpit. They may be half in the bag. But I can tell you they will fly well, land the aircraft, and take it off safely.
But what about aircraft that have had incidents? What about, for instance, that Indian Ocean, that Malaysia Airlines?
What about the Malaysia Airlines?
That guy...
That was a suicide mission. That guy, you can't talk about that. That was a suicide mission. So there's a guy who is, essentially what he is doing is he's trying to kill himself. You don't have to be blind, stinking drunk to do that. He probably got drunk to give himself the courage to do it. But
all right, well, what about aircraft that crash because of pilot error?
If it's pilot error, it has something to do with him not flying the airplane right, not because he had a cocktail. And the other thing I want to tell you,
That's a load. I'm not a pilot, and I never will be a pilot. But I'm not buying into that, my friend.
Well, hey, I'm sorry that you're not, General, because I can fly an aircraft after taking two or three knocks off a bottle just as well as any guy that's sober. And I'm telling you, this is a part of my job and a part of a pilot's job.
Because you're scared.
Yes, because we're scared. Have you ever flown an aircraft?
Look, Art.
No, have you ever flown an aircraft?
No, I have not.
All right, then you don't know. You don't know what it's like to get behind the wheel of that thing and to take it off the ground and you're flying. Oh.
All right, and you mentioned one other scenario.
Yeah, the other scenario is pilots need to know what it's like for a passenger when they're getting a cocktail, when you can kick back and you put your feet up and you say, hey, stewardess, I'd like a drink. And she might, well, you're the pilot. Don't you have a bottle with you? I said, no, but I'd like to see you go and get me one. Now, why do we do that?
That sounds ridiculous.
I'm sorry?
That sounds ridiculous.
What a child. You're ordering a drink from the flight attendant.
Yes. Yeah, I mean...
I'm sure that's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, you better get used to it because I may want, because of all the years of flying that I've done, I may want to say, you know, on this flight, I think I'd like to have a drink. And the flight attendant will look at you funny, but you ultimately it's your call. Look, you know as well as I do. I'll say to the flight attendant that flying is frightening beyond all words. I'm scared, and I don't know if I'm ever going to get over it. I got to have a drink, and sometimes you feel panicked about it. But you put your feet up and you try to pretend like you're a passenger. You go, yeah, flight attendant, I'd like to have a whiskey sour, please.
Oh, the two of you are laughing now.
I'm not laughing. I was coughing.
Yeah. We're talking with Art Griego, retired pilot, commercial pilot, private pilot, charter pilot. He's done all kinds of flying, talking as we have with Art down through the years about drinking, and that most pilots are scared to fly, and most pilots do have at least one or two drinks before taking off.
Well, not necessarily before taking off, but you may have a flask. You may have a hip flask, or you might have something in your bag. You'll pull it out. You look around to see if anybody's looking at you. You hunch your shoulders. You've seen it a million times. You hunch your shoulders, you lean over, and just take as long of a gulp as you can, and then you might hear the door open, or the guy might be, you know, your co-pilot might be wiggling the lock like, hey, why is this locked? And you'll just say something like, 1 minute, please, and then screw the cap back on the box.
Yes, we understand how it goes. That is the subterfuge, and that is underhanded. And you're putting people's lives at risk.
Oh, you know, General, you're a general. You know why? Because your feet were on the ground. It's called boots on the ground. God bless you for that. I don't hear them talking about boots in the air.
Boots in the air?
God, it's almost like saying that he's light in his loafers or something.
Yeah, you better watch with that boots in the air thing.
I don't hear anybody say boots in the air. I hear them say boots on the ground. That means one thing, your feet are on the ground. And thank God they are, because you're a great general, and God bless all of our soldiers. But they're not in the air. Boots in the air, those are mine. My boots are in the air. You can just, if you see two boots dangling, well, it sounds stupid.
You know what? Get out of here.
Well, I can honestly tell...
Art Griego, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Is that it? You're not going to apologize for that, huh?
Why am I going to apologize for that?
You got this ass on again with his booze and his clown stories.
Yeah, the guy's always giving us the clowns.
I have to agree with that one, Phil. If ever there is a guest that we have on this program from time to time who's always giving it, who's always sticking the clown, it's that one there, Griego.
Sticking the clown.
Yeah, Griego gives us the clown all the time, man. I'm tired of getting clown.
All right, great. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. You really want to hurt him? Well, you can at Mufflers Incorporated. You can hurt him bad by bringing in your garbage can car with the muffler hanging off of it and tell him, I want this in a half an hour. At Mufflers Incorporated, we'll do it even if it hurts, even if it really sears the soul and the mind and the sensibilities of our mechanics. This is one of our mechanics, Jim Jeffco. But if you really want to hurt him, bring your garbage can in now to
Muffler Incorporated.
Muffler Incorporated. Bring it in and tell him I need it in a half an hour and don't give me any stuff at all. Muffler Incorporated, now in three locations, in the city of La Gaba and in downtown Swelbin. Now coming to Burnvie, Mufflers Incorporated. Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy Dean. Been a long time since I did this song. Man, ever since then, I've gotten into the sausage-making business. Isn't that whack? That's right. I was a recording star, and I decided I don't want to do that anymore. I want to make sausage. I want to go ahead and slaughter pigs and make breakfast for everybody. That's right. I'm Jimmy Dean. I make sausages now. I don't sing.
How much money did you make in the recording business as opposed to sausages?
Three guesses. The first two don't count. Let me just give you a hint. Sweet!
Why goes to the sausage?
Yeah, what happened to your nose, man? We just drifted into town. Jimmy Dean, from recording star to sausage.
Kind of quiet.
This week on A&E. A&E Biography Series, something for everyone. A&E, Jimmy Dean, recording star to sausage maker.
Y'all, I bet he was.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One. Hope you enjoyed the little encore here at the end of the week with Art Griego.
I'm Margaret Gray.